I call the meeting of the Committee on Energy, Finance, and Policy to order. We have a quorum. The minutes from February 11th, our first item of business is the approval of the minutes. We have a motion to approve the minutes for the meeting of February 11th. Representative Sexton moves the approval of the minutes for February 11th, 2025. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails, and the minutes of February 11th are approved. Good job, Representative Sexton. All right, Representative Mecklen. Yes, Madam. Yes, Representative Akam.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, as I'm looking through the materials today, I don't see a fiscal note for this bill. So since we are a finance committee, I'm just wondering why we're hearing the bill if we don't have all of the relevant data, and wondering if you could add some insight to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair, member, or Madam Representative Akam, Chair Akam, whatever.
You can
yes,
call me Patty.
Yes, it's my belief that the fiscal note has been requested. So.
And so typically, as has been demonstrated over the last years that I've been on the committee, it's been important that we have the fiscal note when we're discussing the bill in order to be able to have the full picture of that bill. And so would I then be able to say that we'll get the bill back once we have the fiscal note so we can fully have that discussion?
Madam Chair, we are looking at that, and it's a possibility that that bill may make a stop back, but we'll be in contact with you as that bill progresses through the process.
Well, I would just maybe put on the record that I would like to request that we have the opportunity to hear the bill again once we have the fiscal note. And so thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Chair Akam. All right, Representative Mecklen, would you like to move forward to the testifier table? Representative Mecklen moves that House File 28 be referred to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resource Finance and Policy. Representative Mecklen, to your bill. I believe you have a author's amendment that you would like to move.
That is correct, Mr. Chair. Let me get to my author's amendment here. Would you like me to do the amendment first?
Yes.
Very good. So, yes, the author's amendment would clarify that this, what House File 28 pertains to, is exclusively to that of data centers, as well as it would also, it defines the capacity of the time that they can be run, the units could be run, which has been, which would be conforming with the air permit that's a federal air permit and what they prescribe. Mr. Chair.
All right. Representative Mecklen moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion? Representative Akam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the author of the bill, maybe can you tell me a little bit more about what the regulations are about the running of the generators, please?
It's in compliance with their federal air permit. That my understanding is those people are going to be in the Environment Committee to address the specifics of that part of it.
So what you're...
Representative Akam.
I'm so sorry. Through the chair, I should know this. My apologies, Mr. Chair and Representative Mecklen. So do you not have any of the specifics around what those requirements are at this point?
I do not, Representative Akam.
Thank you.
All right. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. Representative Mecklen, to your bill as amended.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So this bill comes with blessings, actually. This is going to create an environment where we can be the host state of a tremendous amount of private capital investment in many parts of our state, as we see the push for AI data, as well as data centers as a whole. Many of our communities, especially the eight baseload communities that hosted baseload, have been scrapping for many years trying to figure out how to revitalize those communities when their baseload power units are decommissioned. After sitting on the EATC work group for several years, this is a big blessing for at least the community in which I represent and probably several others. As we've heard in recent news of several of these data centers as they're going forward, this is a tremendous amount of union jobs. In the construction arena, I'm hearing numbers well north of 5,000 jobs and sometimes maybe even a little more than half of that just in one location for 6 to 8 years. And above and beyond that, also the permanent jobs that, are going to be created by all of these data centers. And we have a great opportunity and a resource here for a significant economic boom. And we do have some testifiers here as well. I don't want to forget them. There's a whole litany of them. But the other part of this bill, it also talks about kind of taking an angle at trying to not have all this duplicit environmental study stuff and trying to keep these things moving, as this is a very fast moving industry right now, and we certainly don't want to watch any more of employment opportunities, job opportunities, economic opportunities flee to our neighboring states. So is there that is the gist of the bill, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Representative Mecklen. Are there any questions for the author of the bill? Otherwise, we'll move to testimony. Representative Akin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mecklen, you talked about the number of permanent jobs. How many permanent jobs will this data center provide?
Well, this bill is actually to encompass all the data centers. They're all kind of hinging on this language getting cleaned up. The interesting part is we have the 50 megawatt rule, like if you're going to put power into an area that to generate for the to be sold. That same little hitch kind of was discovered when it's for personal use of energy in the event it's needed for backup generation. In one case, I've now been told that it will be over 1,000 permanent jobs at one location.
And
Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, I caught myself that time.
Oh, great.
So, and at what location did you hear 1,000 permanent jobs?
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
See, we're getting back in the chute.
You know, I don't know that I really want to get into those specifics, to be quite honest, because they all have flexible numbers. I do know the ones, the track properties, they're roughly in that $5 billion range. They have, a couple hundred, 200 jobs at those. And there's, I think, five of those scheduled right now. One is further along. The other four are kind of in the process. I have not heard, I'm trying to remember, there's a Microsoft project that's in Becker, and that one is a pretty significant one as well. My understanding is, maybe one of my testifiers can clarify that for me because they probably remember some of that information. I believe it's up to 28 buildings upon completion. That's supposed to be like one of these 4 to 6 year projects, so that'll be several thousand construction jobs on that site alone, which is very similar to the Amazon site right next door. So when you start adding up all this revenue that's coming in from all these and all these jobs, this is a remarkable opportunity that Minnesota has before it at this time.
Representative Akin.
Thank you. I think that, as Representative Mecklen alluded to, maybe the testifiers might be able to shed some light, and so maybe we should go to testifiers if that you're ready for that.
Thank you, Representative Akin.
Hold off on questions.
Jones? Representative Jones?
Yeah, actually, I may hold my questions till after the testifiers.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. All right. Well, with that, Representative Mecklen, and just another part, you know, I think as it was talked about, we've got a lot of testifiers before us, and we have folks from the commission, commissioner's office as well. So we will start that. If you can kind of maybe keep your comments, testifiers, as you come before the committee, maybe about 3 minutes. We won't be quite as hard. We don't have it as giant of a list as we did the Tuesday, and so we'll give you as much leeway as we possibly can. And we'd like to have Assistant Commissioner Sydney Lieb from the Department of Commerce, and then after that on deck we have Jeremy Schmidt from the Becker Public School District. You know, as you come forward, if you want to make sure that you are speaking into the microphone, introducing yourself to the committee and to those listening and those in attendance. Thank you. Assistant Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sydney Lieb, the Assistant Commissioner at Minnesota Department of Commerce for Regulatory Analysis. The Minnesota Department of Commerce would like to express that we are excited about this economic opportunity for the state to support these data centers, and we think this creates a meaningful opportunity. We are still working with the bill authors directly on some of our thoughts about changes to the language for this bill, and we are available for questions.
Are there any questions for the commissioner, just because of your unique position, we'd like to, in case she has to move on? Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Sydney, for being here. I'm wondering if you can elaborate more on some of the concerns that you're working through right now.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Jones, thank you for the question. We currently have identified a handful of concerns with the bill. Specifically, we are concerned with the environmental review going through the local government unit. We believe that for a power generator of this size, that should be handled at the PUC, where there's sufficient expertise built in and familiarity with those types of projects. We are fine with exempting the CN, as we believe the site permit will still require a sufficient environmental review. And we'd also like to make it clear in the bill language that the AUAR is not in place of the environmental review associated with the site permit, that the full environmental review with the site permit still be done and still be reviewed and approved through the regular PUC public process.
Representative Jones, do you have a follow-up? Right. Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not used to these Senate rooms. My question is, again, involving the number of jobs that's going to be created by the presumption of these data centers. I used to work at a company that had a data center, and there were about three or four people that it took to manage it as full-time positions. So I'm wondering if the Department of Commerce has any insight into how many permanent jobs are created by this.
Assistant Commissioner Leib.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the department has not dug into the job numbers, and the Department of Commerce doesn't have a lot of expertise in that specific analysis. I think we'd probably refer those types of questions to DEED or another more relevant job-focused agency.
Representative Hollins. All right, we're good. Any other questions? All right, thank you. Oh, Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nice to see you, Ms. Leib. Data centers can use a lot of electricity. At what point in the process is that evaluated?
Assistant Commissioner Leib.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kraft, thank you for the question. The department's been thinking a lot about the energy impacts and load growth associated with bringing on more data centers in the state. This comes up regularly in our advocacy at the Public Utilities Commission. And this is why we believe that it's important for the environmental review to continue to flow through the Public Utilities Commission. We recognize the need for firm capacity backup at the data center, and the environmental review process is where we would consider alternatives like medium and long duration storage, mixed storage and on-site renewables, or other lower emitting or non-emitting sources. And we think that the existing environmental review process that would go through the PUC is sufficiently robust to consider those alternatives.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Leib, so that means what's proposed here would get around that process that you think is necessary to make sure that our that these things can be held, can be supported in a reliable way. Is that correct?
Assistant Commissioner Leib.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kraft, we believe that the CN process is not necessary to have that review, because that review would still take place during the site permitting of one of these facilities. There would be an environmental review with an alternatives analysis. So we are supportive of the CN exemption proposed in the bill. Where our concerns lie are in either allowing the AUAR to replace the environmental review. We don't think that that is appropriate. And then also the concern around moving this to a local review instead of a Public Utilities Commission review for a generator of this size. The locality could still do that level of review, but given the significant impact of this size generation facility, we think that that review is better done at the Public Utilities Commission, where they have a team of staff and a public process to really do a robust review of those.
Representative Kraft, you have a follow-up?
One more quick one. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, so in the moving from the city review, Is this because the impacts on the grid, I mean, if you, I think the way I'm thinking about this is that if you have a data center going into a certain city or municipality, and they're reviewing what the impacts are in the grid with only in their area, they're going to miss stuff, right? Because the impacts of a data center can be felt pretty widely, can it not?
Assistant Commissioner Lieb.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kraft, as currently written and envisioned, it's our understanding that these are non-grid tied resources, so overall grid impacts would not be a consideration. We believe the Public Utilities Commission is the appropriate place to do the environmental review because they are going to be better able to look at how often these things may need to run given the overall resiliency and reliability of the grid. They'll understand what alternative power opportunities are, and I think they'll be better equipped to assess whether an alternative form of backup is appropriate.
Representative Kraft? Representative Akam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this kind of ties into the question, and so my question is about the bill is talking about diesel generator backups. Are there other forms of backup generators, alternate forms of backup generators that would have the capacity or capability to be the backup power for a data center of this size?
Assistant Commissioner Lieb.
Mr. Chair, Representative Akam, we would need to see the full proposal and the environmental review to make a full assessment to understand how long of duration power these need to be able to provide, look at the costs of alternatives and do a full analysis. And I think that's the analysis that we're recommending occur at the Public Utilities Commission.
Representative Akam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a brief follow-up. So are there alternative forms of generators that could, like depending on a different size or maybe taking size out of it or the size of the data center, are there alternative generators that could be used in a data center setting?
Assistant Commissioner Lieb.
Mr. Chair, Representative Akam, again, I think we would need to understand how many hours of runtime we're looking at running whatever the backup is. And you would also need to look at the availability of fuel, how much fuel storage needs to be there. I think there's a number of factors that would need to be considered, and the department would hope that all of those would be carefully considered, that others would bring forward alternatives in the environmental review process that we're proposing occur.
Thank you.
All right, Representative Akam, thank you. Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This conversation has spurred another question around the locality, because this bill proposes that more of the review happen at the local level. And so I guess, do you think that the local level would have the right tools and capacity to be able to assess these things?
Assistant Commissioner Lieb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Jones. As I stated, the department feels that the environmental review should occur at the Public Utilities Commission, not at the locality. And again, we feel that is at least partially due to the fact that the locality likely doesn't have in-house expertise and would have to contract out. Contracting out could actually slow down the process. And if the review is insufficient due to lack of technical expertise, then it potentially opens itself up to further legal challenges. Therefore, we think that the Public Utilities Commission is in the public interest in terms of having in-house expertise to do a robust environmental review, having a robust public process to allow the right level of stakeholder engagement around that environmental review, and reaching a timely conclusion on granting or denying a permit based on environmental review and other factors that will be legally defensible and robust.
Representative Jones.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Lieb. I appreciate you talking about kind of the timeliness aspect of this, because my understanding is that the PUC is taking up this issue later in March, and so just wanting to make sure members are aware of that.
Representative Jones, is that your final comment? All right, sounds good. Thank you. Assistant Commissioner Lieb, Jeremy Schmidt from the Becker Public School District. If you'd come forward, state your name and introduce yourself for the record. Then after that, we have Kathy Johnson, if you want to come up and be on deck.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeremy Schmidt. I am the superintendent of Becker Public Schools. I am also a member of the Energy Transition Advisory Committee as a representative of a school district facing revenue loss due to energy transition. For those unfamiliar with our school and community, Becker Schools is located about 45 minutes northwest of the Twin Cities. Becker Schools have a long-standing tradition of excellence with dedicated staff, supported families, and a school board that prioritizes student achievement and academic rigor. I come before you today to express my strong support of House File 28, which promotes the expansion of data centers in Minnesota, particularly in communities like Becker, where energy transition has already caused a significant economic impact. As many of you know, Sherburne County coal power plants have been vital to our local economy. With their closure or planned decommissioning, our school district and community face substantial economic challenges, including a decline in tax revenue and a reduction in job opportunities. Our school district stands to lose a significant portion of its tax base, about 40% or the equivalent of around $5 million out of our $12 million levy, once Sherco units go offline. This loss directly affects our ability to maintain class sizes, support services, and educational programs that our students and families rely on. House File 28 presents a critical opportunity to address those economic shortfalls by attracting large-scale data centers to Becker. These data centers can help offset the tax revenue losses from Sherco's closure, provide new jobs that will support our local workforce and replace jobs lost due to Sherco's closure, and encourage further infrastructure investment in Becker and surrounding areas. Why Becker is ideal for a data center? Well, it has some key advantages that make it a strong candidate for these data centers. One is infrastructure. Becker is already home to high voltage transmission lines and substations, making it an attractive site for high energy demand industries. Our community also has a strong workforce, and Becker's proximity to the Twin Cities metro area make it a strategic location for these types of investments. Data centers have the potential to bring upwards of $60 billion in investments to Minnesota. Communities like Becker can benefit from these through job creations of skilled technical jobs in IT and maintenance, as well as construction jobs during the build-out. A new commercial tax base can also support schools and city services. Minnesota is already attracting interest from major tech companies. Amazon, Microsoft, and Meta have either announced or are considering multi-billion dollar data centers in locations such as Becker. However, these companies are also weighing options in other states with competitive incentives. Currently, Minnesota's incentives for data centers help attract these investments, but we need to ensure a long-term commitment and maintain our competitiveness. We need to continue to position ourselves as leaders in data center development, reaping the rewards of economic growth and new energy infrastructure investments. And we can do this with House File 28. House File 28 represents a forward-thinking solution to help our Minnesota's transition from traditional energy sources while ensuring communities like Becker do not suffer from lost jobs or revenue. Investing in data centers is not just an economic opportunity, it's a necessity for sustaining communities affected by energy transition. As superintendent, my priority is to ensure our students have the resources they need to succeed. This bill will help Becker continue providing educational opportunities for our families and stabilize our local economy as we move toward a new energy future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. We'd like to maybe hold off on questions to the end for the rest of the testifiers, if that would be okay, Representative Akam. All right, thank you, Representative Akam. Yes, we'll keep you on a list. Ms. Johnson, if you'd like to introduce yourself, and if Mo Fishami would like to come on deck, I think I maybe did okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for giving me the opportunity to testify. I'm Kathy Johnson. I'm president of the Coalition for Responsible Data Center Development. Our coalition is not opposed to data centers, but we realize that hyperscale data centers are coming into Minnesota with a gravitational pull and are not currently regulated. The goal of our coalition is education and advocacy so that data centers can be responsibly brought to Minnesota, which is in the infancy of its data center experience, and avoid some of the pitfalls of communities and other states which are in a more mature data center market. I oppose HF 28, which would allow local governing units to issue permits to construct emergency backup generators. The bill would essentially avoid forms of environmental review by exempting generators from even the limited environmental review process that was passed last year. Lack of an environmental red flag ensures that developers and end users can bypass the PUC at a time when the PUC's authority should be enhanced, not bypassed. Limiting environmental review of diesel generators and allowing permitting by generators by LGUs would allow the same local units of government that are agreeing to non-disclosure agreements to also control this decision. That's bad for anyone who lives near one of these facilities, but it's also bad for neighboring communities and the region at large. Promises of tax revenues made by developers and other end users result in an obvious bias in deciding whether or not to permit a project. The current zoning regulations are not commensurate with the actual impact of these heavy industrial projects. Hyperscale data centers are heavy industrial projects and do not belong in residential communities where compliance with noise statutes and other environmental regulations would be dubious and frankly not enforceable after the fact. The Pollution Control Agency has noise standards and rules that would regulate backup generators. How would compliance be regulated? The EPA states that they rely upon the local governing units to deal with compliance of the regulations, but the LGU is the same body that you're proposing to allow those permits in the first place. Again, these noisy machines do not belong in residential areas. Citing them correctly would go far in eliminating future problems. The MPCA states in their statutes that land use activities, which will be in violation from day one, should be prevented from being established. However, LGUs enticed by the big dollar promises, often from out-of-state developers or billionaire end users, may be looking at sites in their jurisdiction that may not be in the best interest of all of their own residents and certainly not their neighboring residents. Permitting is not a local issue. It should be a regional or state issue.
Madam Johnson, if you could kind of just wrap it up. Thank you.
Can I finish my conclusion?
Depends on how long it is.
What did he say?
Go ahead.
I ask the House of Representatives to be in charge with bills demanding state oversight and state regulation, mandating proper siting, and using technologies like Tier 5 generators that help to abate problems which are prevalent and troublesome in data center campuses throughout the country, allowing AUARs and other shortcuts to environmental regulation and permitting is inappropriate. It puts the needs of developers and wealthy corporations ahead of the welfare and quality of lives of your constituents. Regulation and high-tech standards are a cost of doing business in Minnesota, and any business that wants to come here should be forced to comply.
Thank you,
this
Mr.
is
Johnson.
A time to demand strict regulations for permits. Demand environmental impact studies.
Mrs. Johnson?
For the public.
Can you mind just wrapping it up, please? We're trying to be respectful for all testifiers today. Thank you.
For the publicly elected legislature to be at the helm of decision making for Minnesota resources, and in particularly for the quality of life of your constituents, not developers, the legislature for the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Mr. Fashami, and then on deck we have Mike Hirabishbashi.
Mr. Chair,
yep, Mr.
members.
Fashami, yep.
My name is Mo Fashami, and I'm also a member of the Coalition for Responsible Data Center Development. You know the position of our coalition. We're not against data centers, but we want them to be located responsibly. I live right next to the proposed hyperscale data center in Farmington. It's currently a golf course. But it was rezoned recently to accommodate a 2.5 million square foot, 708 megawatts data center. 10, 50 to 80 feet tall buildings right in the middle of long-standing residential neighborhoods. From my backyard, I can hear the golfers every day. And that is to be replaced by a constant hum of equipment that is going to be in 205 million square foot of internal space, plus hundreds and hundreds of generators that will be on the ground. These generators are for backup power. They're fairly large. Just their fuel tank, imagine it's a 10 by 10 bedroom. So you can imagine the gravity of these generators. The reason I'm opposing HF 28 is because of the impact these generators would have. And when I read that in line in the HF 28 that it is viewed as a person, if you look at line 46 and 47, it says combination of generators designed to serve one person. A data center for-profit entity is not a person, and for a layman like myself, the use of the term person is a misdirection for somebody like me that is unschooled in this kind of terminology. These generators are tested regularly, every week, every month, and several times a year. They're tested for a long period of time to make sure that they can handle an emergency when it happens. When you have several hundred of these, it's very difficult and economically not feasible to test them one at a time. So when you test multiple of them at a time, you have the negative impact of noise being generated. And when you look at MPCA's guidelines for noise, it does say that any entity that would violate the noise requirements on day one should not be permitted to pursue. So the time to address this problem is before data centers and the generators are being used, not after it goes into operation. A practice that we are seeing happening.
Mr. Fashami, if you'd wrap it up, please. Thank you.
Will do.
Yep.
In other states, Duke Energy is now proposing for data centers to turn around and generate power and sell it to the power companies. That means these generators have to run even longer period of time. And if Minnesota ratepayers are shouldering the tax advantages, sales tax advantages to these data centers, why would they pay to buy energy back from them when it was the data centers that caused the problem and the demand in the first place?
Thank you, Mr. Fashami, for your testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Hirabayashi? Are you here? Just put them on the back of the list. And then we have Mark Cole Binger from the City of Becker, and then Greg LaRude from the City of Becker. Are you guys here? If you want to take the, introduce yourself to the committee for the record, and if you could try to keep it close to 3 minutes, that would be appreciated. Thank you. And if you guys are together, if you want to work together, that's fine. If you're both from the City of the Becker, if that would be beneficial to you, feel free.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gentlemen. Chair, committee members. My name is Mark Kobinger, and I'm the mayor of the City of Becker. I thank the committee for the opportunity to speak to you today in support of House File 28. This bill will provide the certainty of the rules and requirements that data center companies need to develop in Minnesota, as well as for the communities they reside in. In addition, this bill will eliminate one of the hurdles to develop in the state, as well as support local zoning control for those communities that have gone through the alternative urban area-wide review process. Allow me to tell you a little bit about the community of Becker. We were a city of about 200 residents when NSP began construction of the Sherco plant. I know that because my father was on the city council at that time. The city is now home to 5,000 residents, and the three units of Sherco are scheduled to be retired by the end of 2030 in compliance with carbon-free requirements of state law. Sherco is by far the largest taxpayer in the city, paying approximately 65% of the city's property taxes. I'm not sure what Excel pays on a state level, but I'm certain that it is very significant. Taxes such as state sales tax and property taxes will go away as a revenue source once the plants are retired. When this retirement was announced, the city immediately began working with Xcel Energy to attract new businesses to replace the lost jobs in the tax base. Data centers became central to Xcel Energy and the city's effort. As part of these efforts, the city developed an AUAR plan. Our city administrator will go into greater detail about the AUAR in his testimony, but to require businesses to redo requirements for development that have already been completed seems to me to be patently unfair and will jeopardize development throughout Minnesota. Data centers provide an absolutely necessary service for daily life. I saw many people walk into this room on their phones. And like all types of businesses, they prudently plan to address any business interruption. In this case, standby generation is necessary to provide business continuity for when the normal power grid fails. I don't see the sense to obligate a business to meet the same requirements of a power plant that produces and sells power every day of the year, when data centers will only produce power for themselves and less than 1.5% or 100 hours of the time as a power plant. This bill has statewide implications. Interest in data center location in Minnesota is increasing, and this bill is extremely important to provide the businesses and the cities where they will be located the certainty of the rules that apply to these projects. This bill proposes to provide clarity to those projects. Becker has a decades-long history of being a model city for establishing and building relationships with businesses, and we want to continue that legacy for the businesses of this century. The City of Becker strongly supports House File 28, and I urge the committee's support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Kolbinger. Mr. LaRude, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Greg LaRude. I'm the Becker City Administrator. I thank the committee for the opportunity to provide testimony today in support of House File 28. As Mayor Kolbinger said, this bill will provide clarity and certainty of the rules and requirements data center developments need wherever in the state they are considering. One aspect of the bill that is critical is it provides support to the Alternative Urban Area-Wide Reviews, or AUARs. It's important to understand what AUAR is and why this bill is so impactful to the development process. An AUAR is a rigorous statutory environmental review planning tool that local governments can use as an alternative to an environmental impact statement. Rather than looking at the impacts of one specific development, an AUAR analyzes the cumulative environmental impacts of development scenarios over a defined area in response to items listed in the Environmental Assessment Worksheet, or EAW form. AUARs are required by statute to provide a level of urban impact analysis comparable to an EIS. The AUAR process used in Becker and in some AUARs completed in other communities included a state agency participation component throughout the process rather than only requesting agency review when the draft was finished. Notice is also provided in the EQB monitor, so any interested party was aware of the AUAR and had the opportunity to comment. HF 28 will prevent that duplicated effort and expense and unneeded delays for these projects. I also note that the AUAR does not exempt the company from other state permitting requirements, such as air permits. Energy transition aid was approved during the 2023 session to provide a backstop for cities like Becker, who are experiencing the loss of tax base due to retirement of coal-fired plants. And we certainly appreciate the support, but we would rather be in a position where we do not need to rely on state aid, either in the form of energy transition aid or local government aid, and instead can be self-sufficient due to our diverse local economy. The significant electric infrastructure that exists in Becker is a key attraction for data centers, and large-scale development centers would go a long way towards replacing lost tax base and provide stability to the local economy. The city appreciates Representative Maitland for authoring House File 28 to provide clarity to some of these issues, and we urge committee approval. Thank you.
Mr. LaRude, I believe we have an online testifier coming up next. Dan Dorio from the Data Center Coalition. And Mr. Dario, if you want to introduce yourself and unmute yourself so that the committee can hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Dan Diorio, and I'm Senior Director of State Policy for the Data Center Coalition. The Data Center Coalition is the membership association for the U.S. data center industry. DCC's members are leading data center owners and operators, as well as companies that lease large amounts of data center capacity. DCC's member companies provide the digital infrastructure that enables the applications, capabilities, and services that support the modern economy, including cloud computing and artificial intelligence, as well as support the United States' global competitiveness and national security. Importantly, digital infrastructure supports and facilitates essential services, such as emergency services and first responders, hospitals, government services, financial transactions, and cybersecurity. Due to the essential nature of their operations, data centers must ensure their ability to maintain uninterrupted operations and provide essential connectivity and data flow to their customers and to the many end users who rely on uninterrupted access to data and underlying applications. Some reliability risks, including sudden utility power outages due to storms, natural disasters, and other causes, are inherently outside data center companies' control. Data centers need to remain operational during emergencies to ensure that access to essential data and services continues uninterrupted for clients and users and the general population. To do that, DCC members maintain backup generation capable of supporting 100% of their operational load at their facilities. These generators are highly regulated at the federal and state levels and sometimes at the local levels as well. They can only operate in emergency situations when grid power is interrupted or for limited manufacturer recommended testing and maintenance purposes. They are not connected to the utility grid. In Virginia, the largest and most mature data center market in the world, the General Assembly's Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission concluded after a year-long study that in fiscal year 2023, the data center industry's backup generators use was minimal and that actual emissions from backup generators were only 7% of allowed and permitted emissions. House File 28 would provide the certainty, predictability, and streamlined approval process for critical backup generation at data centers by recognizing that generators are not intended to be power plants or a power generating facility connected to the grid. It also balances that streamlined process and time to market with the need for proper environmental analysis. HF 28 will keep Minnesota competitive with other states for the economic benefits, good paying jobs, and substantial state and local tax revenue from data center development. I urge the committee to support House File 28. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Diorio, if you'd mind just hanging on and just mute yourself, and we'll, if members have a question for you at the end of testimony, we might come back to you. So thank you. Ivana Starek from Clean Water Action, if you want to come up, and then Charles Sutton from the International Union of Operating Engineers, if you'd be ready to come on deck. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Ivana Stark, State Director of Clean Water Action Minnesota. I'm here on behalf of our thousands of members to express concerns over House File 28 and the impact data centers will have on Minnesota water.
Could you speak into the mic just a little bit tighter? Thank you.
Our work focuses on ensuring that our water is drinkable, swimmable, and fishable for generations to come. Currently, data centers are expanding across the country as dependency on cloud computing and artificial intelligence increases. These centers require millions of gallons of water each year to cool facilities as well as to generate electricity to run them efficiently. This can cause stress in areas experiencing water scarcity and water quality concerns. One AI query is estimated to use 16 ounces of fresh water. For perspective, ChatGPT estimates upwards of 10 million queries per day. Data centers operate 24/7, 365, and there are an estimated 5,300 facilities in the United States. That adds up to hundreds of billions of gallons of water used each year. We support a strong permitting process and tight regulations related to data centers. It's vital strong environmental review is done. Backup generators should not be exempted from review by PUC. Because of their continued growth, data centers are increasing their need for water over time. Microsoft's water consumption increased by 34% between 2021 and 2022. Google's water consumption went up nearly 22% over the same period to 5.56 billion gallons per year. Amazon Web Services does not seem to publicly disclose the water consumption of its data centers. However, in Virginia's Data Center Alley, where Amazon operates some facilities, data centers collectively use approximately 1.85 billion gallons of water in 2023, up from 1.13 billion gallons in 2019. We must ensure that centers use the safest, most environmentally friendly options. wind cooling, and descaling the facility. We recommend a requirement that centers provide reports to the legislature showing they're using the safest, most up-to-date technology and that they're compliant with water recycling laws. Minnesota must require that centers construct their own on-site carbon-free power generation facilities to satisfy their electricity and cooling demands. We also believe that Minnesota taxpayers should not carry the financial load for billion-dollar corporations. In other words, they need to pay their fair share of taxes. We see this bill as a dangerous threat to Minnesota's water and clean energy goals. We do not support this bill in its current form without environmental and financial guardrails. We welcome an opportunity to work with the bill's author to ensure proper environmental protections are put into place. And what I've heard today is that these data centers can't operate without circumventing safety rules and regulations, and we find that very concerning at Clean Water Action. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Charles Sutton, if you'd like to begin, introduce yourself, and then if we could have Jim Pearson make your way to the table so you're ready to go.
Chair Swidzinski, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Charles Sutton. I'm here on behalf of both the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 49 and the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters. Our members, along with other tradesmen and women, build and maintain Minnesota's infrastructure. We thank Representative Mecklen for bringing forward this important bill that would simplify permitting for backup generators needed for new large data centers. Our union supported last year's clean energy permitting efficiency bill, and we have supported plans like those put forward by Xcel to transition towards clean energy resources. However, we've always believed that it is critical that we support workers and communities who are negatively impacted by the energy transition. Data centers, especially one at Becker, present significant opportunities for our members and for tax revenue for the local communities impacted by the transition. We, of course, recognize that data centers have large electricity needs, but that is why it's critical that these data centers be sited in Minnesota, where we are making significant progress towards decarbonization. The overwhelming majority of the electricity needs for these facilities will be met with our utilities and their increasingly clean energy generation, but backup is necessary for emergency situations. Having a streamlined, clear process for permitting these backup facilities will be important for attracting these facilities. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Pearson, if you'd introduce yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And then we have Peter Wagenius, if you want to make your way up to the testifying table. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Jim Pearson with Xcel Energy, and we very much appreciate the opportunity to provide a couple high-level points in support of House File 28. The first thing that I wanted to touch on was really covered quite well by the mayor and the superintendent. In the communities where we have historically operated our power plants, we are a big part of those communities. And as we work through and make changes in our thermal generation fleet, those communities are being oftentimes negatively impacted by changing property tax revenue. And so one of the things that we're quite proud of is working with those communities over a period of time to minimize the changes in tax revenue. And we do that over time, and we do that through bringing on new partners, seeking new economic development opportunities. And the conversations up in Becker are all consistent with the work that we've been doing for 5+ years as we've announced the changes in our generation fleet. The second high-level point I wanted to make is we support and work with our customers at all sorts of different levels to ensure that they have the reliability that they need to run their businesses. And so we take tremendous pride in, of course, the service and the reliability that we offer our customers, but things do happen. And so working with our customers to find the appropriate backup generation when that's necessary is a pretty common practice. So many of our large hospitals have backup generation. We have all sorts of customers who have different needs, and we work with them on a case-by-case basis to help them with that. We obviously have backup generation at some of our power plants, in particular our nuclear facilities too. So it is a very important component, and it is a pretty routine and normal part of our work with our customers to make sure that they have the needs that they meet. So wanted to share that as well and provide some perspective. Also wanted to thank Representative Mecklen for offering the amendment. We feel that makes the bill better. And we're also committed to conversations as the bill moves forward that will be aimed at, again, making improvements to the bill. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Wienius, and then Sarah Moridian will be on deck on Zoom. So, Mr. Wienius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Peter Wienius, Legislative Director at Sierra Club. Just 2 days ago, this committee discussed letting the free market drive our future versus policies to speed the clean energy transition. So it's worth noting that data centers are not coming here because of the free market. They are coming here because of massive taxpayer subsidies. The data center tax credit is an automatic, uncapped corporate giveaway that has already cost Minnesota taxpayers over $350 million. Originally estimated at just $5 million a year when passed, the program has ballooned to over $110 million a year. And as the centers proliferate, this will skyrocket unless the legislature acts. And who are we subsidizing? Not Minnesotans struggling to afford their lives, but some of the wealthiest corporations in the world, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, oligarchs with invitations to inaugurations. They enjoy exemptions from sales taxes not available to local Minnesota businesses. As our state faces a structural budget deficit, incentivizing more data centers is fiscally reckless. What services will be cut to perpetuate handing out more blank checks? But these facilities are not just subsidy hogs impacting our state budget and energy hogs impacting our grid. They are also water hogs, causing both water pollution and water depletion. A recent report from Berkeley Labs estimates that by 2028, hyperscale data centers will consume between 15 and 31 billion gallons of water annually. These data centers provide minimal long-term economic benefit, employing few people on site after construction compared to manufacturing, which provides ongoing employment. This is, on a jobs per dollar basis, a huge waste of money. The legislature really needs to develop comprehensive legislation to protect Minnesotans from multiple risks from data centers. This bill goes in the opposite direction. In addition to giving them our money, we could give them our water as well. Please visit peoplenotpolluters.com, a project of 19 environmental organizations, before assuming anyone can rely on this administration to protect us from corporate polluters. Peoplenotpolluters.com documents 12 examples, stark examples of polluter capture of state agencies. We should be holding hearings on that. The legislature should be holding the executive accountable. Sadly, more examples are coming. The theme of these bills is clear. Whatever big corporations want, big corporations get. Ask them no questions. Don't protect Minnesotans. Just open the checkbook. Please oppose this bill. Please hold hearings on polluter capture. Please take a comprehensive look at data centers and all of what is needed to protect us from their impacts. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Sarah Moridian from CURE, if you want to introduce yourself, I believe you're on Zoom.
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Chair Swedinsky. Committee members, my name is Sarah Moridian, and I'm the Government Relations and Policy Director for CURE, which is a rurally based nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting and restoring resilient towns and landscapes by harnessing the power of the people who care about them. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in opposition to House File 28 today. Less than 2 months ago, Amazon Data Services asked the Public Utilities Commission for expedited review of its request for an exemption to the typical certificate of need process required under Minnesota law. ADS hopes to build a hyperscale data center in Becker, as we've heard already, and wants to have emergency backup generation available in the event that Xcel is unable to provide power. According to their filing, ADS would build approximately 250 generators operating on diesel fuel for a combined capacity of up to 600 megawatts, which is approximately the amount of electricity generated at the Monticello nuclear plant. Groups, including CURE and the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, and importantly, the Department of Commerce and the Office of the Attorney General, submitted comments to the Public Utilities Commission stating their positions that a certificate of need is required in this instance. House File 28 would appear to end run the ongoing discussions before the PUC. This bill would attempt to exempt any internal combustion engines used for emergency backup generation with a combined capacity greater than 50 megawatts from certificate of need proceedings. It would also allow for limited environmental review and expedited permitting under the standard or local review processes. I'd also like to note that even under the federal parameters for emergency backup generation, facilities are allowed to operate in non-emergency situations. This bill would allow anyone, anywhere in Minnesota, to construct and operate a fossil fuel generation facility of a size that we normally permit as a power plant, all without having to prove that the generation is needed, thoroughly evaluate its environmental and human health impacts, or establish that the same goal cannot be met through less harmful means. This bill also proposes to create a loophole in our bedrock environmental protections that would allow businesses to utilize the Alternative Urban Area-Wide Review, or AUAR, process to circumvent typical environmental review. AUARs are intended to allow local governments to analyze different development scenarios, as we've already heard, but they're not for the to analyze the impacts of specific projects. Indeed, the AUAR that Becker completed prior to the ADS facility proposal mentions data centers but has no detailed assessment of the environmental impacts expected from a facility of that scope. AUARs were certainly not intended for the use of private companies to avoid compliance with Minnesota law. As the AI and hyperscaler sector surges forward, we would ask that committee members consider the implications of allowing some of the most powerful and wealthy companies to try and place themselves above the law. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mike Habarashi, did you make it back in? We had you on the list. I don't want to skip over you before we go to public testimony. Are you here? No? Okay. If you do show up, shake your hand. Representative Macklin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe Joel Johnson is here to testify as well.
Yes, we're getting to that point. Okay. Yep. We'd like to open up testimony to anyone in the public that may like to come. Joel Johnson, it sounds like you would like to, if you'd come introduce yourself to the committee and share your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Swedinsky, members of the committee. My name is Joel Johnson. I'm here on behalf of the IBEW State Council, which represents over 15,000 electrical workers in the state, including hundreds that are already working on data centers being built in the state. Thank you for this opportunity to testify on behalf of House File 28. Representative Mecklen, thank you for introducing the bill. We believe if we are to fully take advantage of the benefits of hyperscale data centers, we need to make sure that state laws are aligned to encourage their construction in Minnesota. And there are concrete benefits. More and more, these large hyperscale data centers provide the infrastructure for modern commerce. Having them built and operated here in Minnesota means literally thousands of jobs for IBEW members when the facilities are being built and hundreds of permanent jobs when the centers are operational. These are really good jobs. There's also increased property taxes for state and local governments, 24/7 electrical demand that helps make more efficient use of utility resources, particularly intermittent solar and wind resources. Thousands of hours of work for other trades during construction, maintenance, and upgrades. Billions of dollars of direct and indirect investments in the state. Encouraging the siting and construction of large data centers in Minnesota will help make sure our economy remains competitive in the global economy for years to come. Thank you, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to testify or give any comments to the bill? All right. Member discussion. Do we have any questions? Representative Akam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did have a question for the Becker School District, if maybe they could come back up. I have a quick question.
Yes. Jeremy Schmidt, if you'd like to come back to the testifying table.
And while he's doing that, maybe Mr. Chair, can was it said where the bill is being referred to?
Yes, it did. The bill is going to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resource Finance and Policy.
Great, thank you. Thank you. And then while I'm also thinking about administrative details here, can we get a roll call on the final vote of the bill, please?
Absolutely. Representative Akam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Schmidt, for your testimony. I think that we can all appreciate how important schools are to our communities. And so when you talk about your school district losing, I think you said $5 million in revenue. I'm wondering if you could tell me how much revenue does the school district expect to get if the data, if and when the data center is built and operational?
Mr. Schmidt?
Mr. Chair, Representative Akam, unfortunately, I don't have that information. I'm not sure which data centers would come to Becker or which ones are not, so that would all be hypothetical pieces. And I would think that they would have the opportunity at least to replace the revenue that we're losing from the Sherkle plants. These are very large buildings, and they have a lot of jobs and things like that. So I assume that they're able to kind of backfill the losses that we would have from Sherkle. And we do have that from the energy transition aid on that backfill that's there. So it would save the state some monies that they wouldn't have to, you know, backfill on behalf of that. So I don't know the number because I don't know what businesses are going to be in Becker.
Representative Macklin, did you want to add to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, with the two that are have already purchased land there, it'll be greater than the loss from the Sherkle site.
Representative Akam, do you have a follow-up at all?
No, that's really not for the school district anyway. I do have other questions for the bill author. I don't know if you want to.
We can. Members, do we have any other questions to any of the testifiers that came before the committee? And then, or we can, you know, if it, Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a question for the testifiers. I'm wondering if there's anybody from Amazon here that we can ask questions to, or AWS.
We have Mr. Dyer from the Data Collection Coalition. Would that, Dario? Mm. No?
Sorry. No, that's okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. Representative Macklin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To that question, I will say this. This bill represents all the data centers. That is the emphasis, but what's behind this, it's not any one specific company. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any other questions to testifiers at all? All right. Thank you very much. Representative Akam, you have a question for...
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Representative Meckland, thank you, Mr. Schmidt. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, you're good. Thank you, Mr. Schmidt.
But to Representative Meckland, I wanted to, in your bill development here, I wanted to ask, did you have any conversations with the state entities that would be impacted? So did you have conversations with the EQB, for example?
Representative Meckland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've had multiple conversations with many stakeholders, and many different people have had them with other parts. It's been a kind of a collection of many of us bringing all this information together. I think it was when this started, was about this time last year when the initial investments were being secured, the property. There's been numerous conversations ongoing for years with Excel and other stakeholders trying to backfill these and what that would look like as we clean up. And you know, ironically, we have this amazingly large solar project in Becker, so I'm not really that concerned about the power because I'm sure we have plenty. We're at like 700 megawatts now, and it's only about a third of what's yet to come.
Representative Akam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so the question was about the Environmental Quality Board. Had you had any meetings with the Environmental Quality Board, Representative Meckland?
Thank you, Representative
Meckland.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Representative Akam, I believe some of the stakeholders have been engaged in conversation with them. I have not directly, no.
Representative Akam?
Thank you. As the bill author, I wanted to maybe make sure that there was an understanding of the differences between an environmental impact statement versus the ORA. And so I wanted to see if you wanted to better understand your position as the bill author to choose that that path.
Representative Meckland, maybe Mr. Eloff would want to explain the difference between the two for Representative Akam, if you wanted to maybe restate your question for nonpartisan staff.
My question for the bill author is why the choice of the AUAR versus the environmental impact statement, and an understanding if the bill author understands the differences between the two.
Representative Meckman, do you want this question?
You know, if you would like Mr. Eliphant, I wouldn't mind hearing his description as well. But I will say up front that the local community has done several of these with not only multiple additional bridge crossings over the Mississippi when they did a lot of extensive research in this and the environmental impact of that. Not to mention we are the host of one of the largest coal plants in the upper Midwest, and they constantly are dealing with that as well. But Mr. Eliphant, if you would like to proceed.
Mr. Eliphant.
Mr. Chair, I think we're all more familiar with environmental assessment worksheets, EAWs, and environmental impact statements, EISs, that are environmental documents that are required to be done for the environmental review program. AUAR is a different animal altogether. For one thing, the legislature didn't give any guidance at all to the Environmental Quality Board. It just said, come up with an alternative process that takes less time, and it left it up to the EQB to develop rules for AUAR. So that's one reason why I think the legislative branch may not be as familiar with this process as the other one. And my understanding is, at least over the last couple of years, maybe 6 to 7 of these AUAR reports are done every year, a much smaller number than the number of environmental assessment worksheets. My understanding of this, and I haven't looked at very many of them, is that it's a different kind of an animal. They're used by cities specifically, and it also has to be cities that have a comprehensive plan that meets certain criteria that are specified in the rules that are looking to develop what is now undeveloped land, hundreds and potentially thousands of acres. In fact, the AUAR for Becker, I think, lists about 2,200 acres that is being examined in that document. And the content seems to be along the lines of how much residential development, number of units, and where in the parcels that may happen, how much light industrial, et cetera, et cetera. It is not as specific as an EAW. I looked at the EQB website to hopefully get some more information on how it differed and didn't really find much. What it said is that it proposes to kind of ask the same questions as an EAW, but the answer should be more at the level of an EIS, which is more information. I think it's important. I looked specifically at Becker's AUAR, which, as I understand it, was completed in January of 2023, certainly before land was purchased. I don't know if it was before there were inquiries about investment. Representative Mecklen mentioned it was this time last year when initial investments were being secured at the property. But the point is, and it's stated in the AUAR, and the testifier from CURE testified to this, that there is no specific analysis of the impact of the data centers or of the backup generators in the AUAR, none whatsoever. The legislation before us today says that if that's the case, if there are parts of the project that haven't been analyzed in the AUAR, that they should be analyzed in a separate supplemental environmental analysis. But there are no guidelines as to what that should contain.
Thank you, Sir Eliphant. Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to one point that Mr. Eliphant just pointed out, actually the data center inquiry started in 2019. When Google expressed interest back then to, and they, I don't believe they've actually ever answered the question. They're still on the table.
Thank you. Any follow-ups? Representative Ankum?
No, thank you. Not at this point. I'll let some of my colleagues ask questions. I will have some comments at the end, though.
Sounds good. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mecklen. For bringing this today to have us so we can talk about data centers. I've actually been excited to talk about them a little bit and learn more about them. So one of the things I'm trying to understand is kind of what problem are we trying to solve with this particular bill? Do any current statutes prevent building a data center right now?
Representative Mecklen.
Well, I think the part of it is the discovery that as was stated, many industries use backup generation on site. It just never has been an issue to be this of this magnitude, which then brought in the process of the PUC and the P, which I kind of found interesting because they're not asking to sell the power. It's for personal use. It's on-site use. It is not to be sold to the general public, which is what the Public Utilities Commission is there for, in part anyway. So that was one part of it in the process thereof. And obviously with the intense move globally to build all these data centers and then now swift movement with AI. And so that seems to be a very competitive market that's shifting awfully quickly right now. And due to the transitioning market of Becker, it has made it apparently a pretty attractive facility due to the interconnect that's just positioned there and the access to the cooling and infrastructure that's already in the area.
Representative Jones, you have a follow-up?
Yes, thank you for that. I'm also curious, so, you know, given these hyperscalers, you know, I think a lot of us are kind of struggling to understand, like, the scale and scope of them. So I'm wondering if you can share with us, so, you know, a number was thrown out there, you know, this is, they would need about 600 megawatts of backup power. Can you provide some context about, like, what does that mean for, like, to some everyday people?
Representative Meckland?
That means it. They could either buy all these generators or they could buy Sherco 2 and start it back up.
Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you. So I've been doing a little bit of math. And so, you know, they were talking about, you know, diesel generators would be kind of the fallback for this. And in order to provide 600 megawatts, and just for some context, 600 megawatts is essentially the demand for both Minneapolis and St. Paul for an entire year. It's their demand, not for the entire year. It's just the demand that they have, which is kilowatts. And so if we were to look at that, just in the amount of gallons that would be needed for a singular hour for this facility would be about 18,000 gallons, which is a swimming pool size. And they were telling us that they might need this for, you know, hours of a day or days on end. And so I think about, you know, that you're mentioning, like, should we have the PUC involved in this? And we were hearing from people who might be neighbors to a facility like this. I think it does behoove us to have some questions, have some analysis. So we're taking a broader view, a public view, because I can only imagine if I were having, you know, 1, 2, 3 swimming pool sized, I can only think of the word in German right now. The tanks right next to my home or near my city. So I think it's really important that we really understand for these data centers what the scale really is for us, how it's going to be impacting our communities. And I'm not saying I'm opposed to them, but having these environmental processes I think are going to be important going forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jones. Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I was really hoping that somebody from Amazon would be able to come up here and answer some of the questions I had around the number of employees. So I did a little bit of Google sleuthing while I was sitting here. And a pro data center author said the number of typical jobs at a data center can be anywhere between 5 and 30. Microsoft on their FAQ page says that they average 50 employees and vendors per data center. So I just want us to recognize that when we talk about long-term investments and jobs, that this isn't something, I guess I can't say. I don't know. Maybe you're going to build 30 of them. But it seems like thousands of jobs is unlikely, especially long-term jobs. Now, I don't want to go down this path, though, because you might know more about – oh, do you want to respond?
I do.
I apologize. Go ahead.
Representative Meckland? Representative Hollins, I believe that was a question now. So, Representative Meckland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative Hollins, in specific to the Microsoft project, it is each building, there's going to be up to 28 buildings. It'll take them, I want to say 4 to 6 years to, and then just basically move from one to the next. Each building will employ 30 to 50 people. So, if you take 30 times 28, this is a lot of permanent employees. This is not the construction people. There's a lot more of them initially. But they will be there for, I believe it's 4 to 6 years. I believe the neighboring one, which is an AWS, is a little bit bigger than that. And the employee number is probably a little bit higher than that. But the as you've heard from IBEW and the others, These construction jobs, I believe the AWS is 6 to 8 years, nonstop work in that one site for, I think the number was upwards of 3,000 construction jobs.
Representative Hollins, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you. I have several follow-ups. So I appreciate that, Representative Mecklen, and I appreciate the math on it because I also did the math on the number of buildings you would have to do. So my question is really, I'm reading a lot about data centers. I'm reading about how they're the future of our economy, how they're going to lead to new productivity and profitability. But a lot of industries in Minnesota have profit margins that are razor thin, right? So why are we giving giant corporations that make literally billions of dollars a year a better deal than we're willing to give meat packers or farmers or small business owners? Why do they need this additional help?
And Representative, just a reminder that this is not a tax committee, but Representative Mecklen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And yeah, those are great questions. I believe that much of those incentives were passed when the Democrats had the full control of the legislature. So I don't know. We kind of like hit the meatpacking plants pretty bad last year and the year before as well. So I'm glad to hear that we're concerned about them now. But this is about an evolving economy and economic driver. That is regardless whether if you guys are so concerned about it being here, it's going to be built in a neighboring state. It does not matter because they are coming regardless, and they're being built throughout the globe everywhere. They're intentionally having them in multiple places. So if there is an outage anywhere, they can redirect because obviously we all fall apart if our internet doesn't work. As you just said, you Googled it, so you use a Google data center. So, and that's the whole point of all of this, that these things are going to emerge. There's no stopping it. The AI game is fully in foot. So either we get in front of it or we get behind it, and maybe the CCP can beat us at that game. It's not something I think is a wise choice. I believe that we should be on the front side of this. I believe we have a tremendous amount of economic opportunity here. And for once, it seems like we have the ability to capture this. And by the way, they have all committed to being 100% renewable. That is their absolute one thing that they've all driven hard. And so, I mean, I'm hearing all this concern. They're making all the commitment. They're spending all this money. Another thing they asked me specifically, if I knew any pipe fitters in my district, the minute I see the first little ounce of dirt move, have them contact the HR because nobody pays a pipe fitter more than these companies globally.
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to be extremely clear, I'm not against data centers. I'm against creating permitting loopholes that allow them to skirt the process that we've established. I want to push back a little bit because, AI is relatively new, and we just had the Chinese DeepSeek AI that seems to suggest that we can do this for a lot less power. And I know you've probably been following the stock plummeting that happened right after that. And I'm wondering why we should, convince me, why we should give a sweetheart deal for something that we might not need.
Representative Mecklen.
Again, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is, the sweetheart deal was something that was established, and there's multiple parts to it, but it was all established a long time ago. I have to deal with the cards that I've been dealt right now. The cards that I've been dealt is that the Sherco Power Plant will be finally shut down on 2030. That is number one. Number two, there's an economic opportunity here that has started in 2019. And at that time, it was Google. That was the catalyst then to get this infrastructure built out in this industrial park. By the way, the Sherco site or the Becker sites are all 100% in an industrial park far away from residential. So there will be no negative impact there because they're going to be right in between a bunch of other industry. And that is the cards that I'm dealt with at this time right now. And as I watch where they're, with the exception of one, I agree with the gentleman, I don't remember which one he was, that the one in Farmington does seem like it's a pretty unique location. I have no knowledge on that whatsoever, but I also understand the economic interest that many of these communities are faced with and they're looking at as opportunities. And when you take into account, because back when Google expressed interest in this, the amount of jobs was nowhere near what these are talking about. And in particularly the Microsoft one, I believe the reason it's higher is that it's an AI data center. So that's a part of the equation.
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last question, I swear. So I understand why Amazon or Google would want this. This bill would be great for them. I mean, it checks off a lot of things on their business wish list. My question is, why do they need this bill when they are already in the middle of a PUC process? Why should we skirt that process that's been established for determining things for our energy sector and instead go ahead with this legislation?
Representative Mekland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think there's actually a two-sided approach going here that they, and I believe even some of the PUC commissioners have expressed that this is in a unique area because they typically regulate when the utility is being sold to the public. That's not what this is. And they don't, PUC doesn't necessarily get involved when hospitals want this or when refrigerated warehousing has to have it, all these other places, but because, and in part, they don't need this kind of power. But it's a new thing. So we're learning new things. We're in somewhat of uncharted waters in our legislature here. They've done it in other states. It's become commonplace. I know there's a big one in Mississippi or Alabama right now going up. As was mentioned, Virginia is the hub of all this. It's been going on for a long time. We're not reinventing the wheel. It's our time turn to ride around on it, I guess.
Representative Hollins. All right. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mekland. You know, thank you for bringing the first data center bill. I think this will be a really important topic for this committee and this session. These are new types of data centers. They're not your, your grandfather's data center, but maybe your uncle's data center. with AI and cryptocurrency, the electricity needs are just pretty dramatic. So it's worth us being careful with these things. I am interested in, I think the point about them being foundational for some economic opportunity is an important consideration. I do think with the amount of electricity needs they have, I think we have to be careful thinking about them and looking for ways of using some of the funds they may generate to create offsetting things where we can reduce demand electricity, also maybe more energy efficiency. There's other benefits for that. I will say, I looked through this and I didn't know what an AUAR was until this hearing. And it sounds like that you don't have that much visibility into the specifics of those either. I guess my question is, I did hear an expert here from the Department of Commerce, the Assistant Commissioner, who I think has a better understanding than we do, say pretty strongly that they're against this AUAR and thinks it's more appropriately decided at the PUC. And so my question is, do you disagree and why? And then the other piece of that is that my understanding is the PUC is taking up this issue on March 28th. So what's the rush here? Maybe we should table this and wait till after that hearing. That's still during session. We can get the results of that.
And just a reminder to the committee, this bill is being referred to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. And Representative Mekland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. By chance, did the Assistant Commissioner, is she still here or did she leave? Oh, she is still here. If I could, she could answer a quick question.
Representative Mekland, yes, we can do that if you like. Assistant Commissioner Lieb, if you'd approach the testifier's table. And a reminder to the committee, we have 20 minutes before we need to pass this bill. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a quick question for the Assistant Commissioner. Maybe I misunderstood or misheard. As you testified earlier that you weren't completely against it. You just have some concerns, and there's some mild tweaks, and that's what we plan on doing as we go forward to the Environmental Committee. Is that a fair assessment?
Mr. Chair, Representative.
Yep. Assistant Commissioner Lieb.
Thank you. Used to being at the Public
great.
Utilities Commission.
You're doing fine.
I have my cadence better there. I think that's a fair characterization of Department of Commerce's position, that we are supportive of creating a regulatory environment that supports the economic investment in data centers in the state. At this time, we are not comfortable with the AUAR
review and the local government review of the environmental assessment. We're supportive of not requiring a certificate of need and the environmental assessment that would be part of the certificate of need, which I believe is the crux of this piece of legislation. But we would want to see changes to make sure that the AUAR does not become the primary environmental review and that the environmental assessment that would be included as part of the site permit does go through the Public Utilities Commission review, not local government review. And I think we're happy to continue to work with the bill author and with ADS to see those changes made before the bill passes.
Representative Macklin.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's all I need. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Representative Kraft, you have a follow-up.
No, I think that validated my point. Appreciate it.
All right. All right. Are there any other questions?
No.
Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick comment, I guess. If I heard correctly, one of the earlier testifiers mentioned that the renewables could be used as a backup.
Is your mic on?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the earlier testifiers mentioned that, if I heard correctly, that we could use renewables as backup power for a plan like this. And that's the first time I've heard that renewables, which are by their nature intermittent, would be used as dependable backup power for something that had to be there when the grid went down. And I was just using some back-of-the-napkin numbers, too. If it takes an acre of solar panels to generate a megawatt, we're talking about 100 acres, and then we're about 20% or less efficient with that. So we're talking we'd need about 480 megawatts of redundant backup power to that, or hundreds more solar panels. And then the question becomes, if this cannot be put back onto the grid, what do we do with these windmills or solar panels that are producing energy when they aren't needed, if it can't be put back on the grid? So just to comment on one of the things we heard today, and again, it illustrates, I think, that the basic thing that's needed is backup power. These generators seem to be the most, make the most sense. And I would support the bill and thank Representative Mecklen for bringing this bill forward today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Akam, did you have a kind of a wrap
final,
up?
Yeah. Just a couple of final comments. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I will say that I do support the development of data centers, and I do recognize the importance and how dependent we all are on the need of AI. So I'll start there. I appreciate that Representative Mecklen brought up the fact that many of these hyperscalers in particular are choosing Minnesota because of the renewable energy goals that we have. And I find it in stark contrast with the bill that we heard on Tuesday, where this committee voted to move forward a bill to delay and reduce the implementation of the 100% clean energy bill. So please see the that doesn't quite balance out. So just to point that out. And I will say my concerns with the bill aren't necessarily about the backup generation. I recognize that diesel is a source that is being used. And I honestly didn't hear a testifier say that renewables could be used as backup generation. And so if I missed that, my apologies, but I didn't hear that. My concerns are more about how the environmental review is done here. I think I've heard a couple of colleagues bring up and some testifiers bring up the fact that this issue is being brought in front of the Public Utilities Commission and for a hearing in March. And so trying to rush this through now or to subvert the experts who work in this area every day, have the expertise and the background to do the analysis, doesn't make sense to me. I think that I will say I maybe disagree a little bit with the Assistant Commissioner of Commerce in terms of the certificate of need for certificate of need exemption. I don't see this as being amongst those listed in, if you look at 216i and you think about the 100% clean energy bill that was developed just a couple of years ago, there's a whole lot of conversation that went into the types of energy that could be exempted from the certificate of need. I think that because of the gallons full of diesel energy that, or excuse me, the pools full, that could be impacted here, I think it does deserve a closer look, and I think that look needs to be done with the PUC. And I think in that same vein, I would much prefer to see an environmental impact statement rather than the AUAR that has already been done, especially in this particular case. And so with those comments and the bill that we have in before us, I would encourage members to vote no on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Akam. Representative Mecklen, do you have any?
Just in closing quickly, you know, one of the things that, as Representative Akam just mentioned, within the projections here, these are all the most environmental, cleanest, friendliest tier four generators, the most fuel efficient. It's been stated by all the parties that I've interacted with. So, and there's even been talk about renewable biodiesel products and or what is it, the aviation flu one, fuel, the whatever it's called. Yeah, that one. So all of these things have been discussed. There's lots of, you know, always room for improvement. But nevertheless, again, it's the cards we have right before us right now. And I encourage everybody to vote yes.
All right. Representative Mecklen renews his motion that House File 28 be re-referred to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources as amended. And a roll call being asked for. A roll call will be taken.
Chair Swedzinski.
Aye.
Vice Chair Murphy.
Aye.
Lead Acomb.
No.
Representative Kraft.
No.
Representative Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Representative Baker.
Aye.
Representative Carroll.
No.
Representative Frazier.
No.
Representative Igo.
Aye.
Representative Jones.
No.
Representative Mahmoud.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Aye.
Representative Sexton.
Yes.
Representative Weiner.
Yes.
Oh. Representative Hollins.
Thank you. Representative Hollins, no.
Goodness me.
All right. All right. There being 8 ayes and 7 nays, the motion passes, and the bill is on its way to Environmental Committee. Members, we will be meeting again on Tuesday, February 18th. We're finalizing which bills we'll be hearing, and you'll be hearing shortly, and Representative Akam and Mr. Mazan will be reaching out to you about what we'll be taking up. We will have a hearing posted as soon as possible. This meeting is adjourned.
Nerves.